أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Today we continue with محجة البيضاء. Now last time we did or talked about overeating. So before we proceed today, because overeating was something sort of different from all the other ailments of the heart, there is something we have to remember, and that is, how do we find out that we have got these ailments? Before you have a disease or something, you have to know that you have got, otherwise you don't go after the treatment. And as Ghazali points out, and rightly so, that ailments of the heart are very personal, in the sense there is no, it's not like if you have a disease or something, it may start paining and then you know, okay, it's hurting here, so you go to the doctor who then would analyze and find out what's wrong with you. Whereas the ailments of the heart are not that painful as such, maybe even pleasurable. So it's not very easy to find out that you have got some sort of defects, as we would call them. So you say, how do you find out? And even in finding this thing out, there are other sort of perils. One of them, and the most important one, is self-deception, which is common within all of us. We like to deceive ourselves that no, what we are doing is correct and not what it's supposed to be. So he says that, first of all, I mean, one of the basic ways to find it out is to find somebody who knows these ailments. Or as he says, a scholar of the ailments of the hearts rather than of the body. He says, unfortunately, during this time, that's his time, and even our time, I mean, there are very few people who are qualified in this art, and it's not easy to go to him and sort of say, okay, I am your student, or you observe me, and tell me what's wrong with me over a period of time. So the other one is to ask a very sort of sincere friend of yours, who is always with you, to point out your defect. We say this also, unfortunately, our friends, well, I mean, fortunately what he says is even valid today, I mean, he said it 1,000 years ago almost, that our friends are all not ready to point out any of our faults. They are only would praise us, and even if they did point out, we would not feel very happy about it. So, in fact, we should be very pleased and thankful for them pointing these things out. But he said these friends also are not useful here. We don't do these things for them, and they don't do these things for us anymore. So the third option, he says, is look at the criticism of your enemies. He says this criticism, because the enemies are not sparing in their criticism, so they will criticize you. But there is this danger that they may be telling something which is not there. So obviously look at their criticism, study them, and see whether it does apply to you, and be thankful to them for criticizing or pointing out things which are already there in you. And lastly, and he says the most important that he says, which is most useful or most practical, says if to act upon one of the hadith of the Prophet, which says Al-Mu'minu Mir'atu Akhi, which literally translates means mu'min, or a believer, is a mirror of his brother. Now this can be taken or interpreted in two ways. The way he interprets is that all mu'mins are alike. So if you look or find something which is wrong with your brother, then see whether you have got it. Don't tell him. I mean, that was the second option. He says we are frightened of telling them, or he may get offended if you tell him. But then look within yourself. You might be suffering from the same thing. And say, have you got the same thing? Do you do the same thing which displeases you when you are with somebody? Then try to correct it within yourself, or try to find out that you have got that ailment. Now, I said that this can be interpreted in two ways. Another way is miratu akhi. You are a reflection of your brother. And in fact, it would refer to the second thing, that you reflect everything that your brother or another mu'min has got defect, and you reflect his defect and tell him or make it evident to him. So he says one of the things is to find out that what ailment ailments are there within your heart before you can go and correct them. Now here, when I say that's when we have to be aware that self-deception is a major problem. As you know, in all this, for example, all the perils of the heart, like lying, ghibah, whatever it is, there are occasions when it is allowed to do those things. For example, lie to save Muslims, or for the benefit of the Muslims, to do ghibah for the benefit of the Muslims. So then you would always say, no, I'm doing this only for the benefit of the Muslims, not for my personal reasons. Everything I do is for others, even though it may not be for others. You may be deceiving yourself that, look, I am doing this for others, for the benefit of the others, for the general benefit of the Ummah. Whereas it may be a personal grudge you have got, or for very personal and selfish reasons you may be doing this, but deceiving yourself that, no, I'm not doing it for myself. So this we have to be aware of, that this is there. Now there is another hadith. When you are doubtful, at times you may be doubtful, am I doing this? There may be cases that may be right, or it may be also some, you have a personal grudge against somebody as well as he is not a nice person. So are you doing it for your personal grudge or for the general good of Muslims? There is also a hadith, if I'm not mistaken, from Imam Ali alayhi salam. It says, before doing any of such sorts of acts where there is a doubt, you are in doubt, then lay it open to yourself. If your nafs wants to do it, don't do it. It's bound to be amongst those which is sort of out of your personal things. It's very eager to do it, then don't do it. Leave it. Because it's good to err in the in the direction of caution than on the other side. So that is how first we have to decide that we have got the ailment, and then go and try to correct it. As far as correction is concerned, okay, knowing that is good, and also saying that this is a bad thing, it requires a lot of determination. But once you are aware, and if you want to solve or cure that ailment, it's not a difficult thing. None of those are difficult. I mean, there's no need to sort of follow special procedures that may be suitable for you. But once you are aware of those things, you can cure it. Pay attention to it. Be aware of that all the time, and whenever you sort of are bound to make that mistakes, if you are aware, then you can solve that problem. Now, and one of that, and that's why that has been recommended in the hadith, as we all know, we hear all the time, is to take account, or to take account of everything you have done every day. That's the reason, so that you can see what your defects are and act upon them or try to correct them. Now, after eating, he goes into, which I'm not going to tell because I have mentioned it last Friday as well, I don't want to keep on repeating it. He says the other biggest afat, peril, is that of the tongue, or anything that to do with the tongue, that is speaking. Now, there are two specific defects like ghibah, which we know and we hear all the time. Ghibah is backbiting, or to be specific, to reveal hidden faults of a person to another person. Things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is hidden, whether it be bodily defects or defects in the character. Something which is not open. Everybody is agreed that if somebody is doing something openly, then you talk about it's not ghibah. He himself is making it open. So there cannot be ghibah. And others would, then fuqahas would argue, we are not talking about fiqh here. Fiqh is the bottom line. We are talking, but apart from that, any other defects, I mean, it is not good to expose those defects, whether they be bodily or otherwise, whatever the defects may be, which you can happen to know somehow, or whatever, maybe the person tells you himself. So now, even if you do ghibah, what is the recompense, or what is the kafara, as they say, of this ghibah? And that is, we find that the kafara for ghibah is not only asking forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but forgiveness of the person whom you have wronged, or whose Giba you have made. But Ghazali says that, and very nicely says that, no, this is not straightforward. There are two cases in this thing. One is when the person knows that you have made the Giba. If he doesn't know, why tell him? And God says, look, forgive me for something that he doesn't even know. You're going to upset him even more. So he said, for that kafara is just forgiveness for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and let things be as it is. But if he knows, then of course, tahleel, that is asking him, is forgiven, letting him make permissible for you. Okay, whatever you have done is done and forgiven. Now in some hadith we even find that the ghiba, though none of the fuqaha say that ghiba and the other thing, it's namima, we'll come to that. You won't break your wudu. If you have wudu, and if you do ghiba, your wudu is broken. Though none of the fuqaha said, some hadith will point to that thing. The other thing, which is very important, this ghiba is also mentioned in the Quran, and sort of lot of importance given to it, and we are aware of it. We also hear about it, that's why I don't want to go into detail. But the real reason of ghiba, why do you backbite somebody? It's not ghiba, it's something else. And Ghazali rightly points out that if you want to get rid of ghiba, you have to get rid of the roots of ghiba. And that is the other defects which he comes to. And that is hikad, that is hatred. If you hate somebody, that's why, why are you going to do ghiba of somebody? Not because he's your friend, because you don't like him. And why don't you like, and this are other defects which we will go into. But coming to this speech as well, there is another thing which is known as namima. Namima is sort of if somebody tells me something about somebody else, then I say, look, this person, go to that person, say, this person says this regarding you, and creating conflict between those two people. That's specific type, some people call it ghiba only, but that is namima. And also a lot of sort of emphasis has been given in the hadith not to do this sort of thing. And we know obviously, it creates hatred between others. And as I pointed out, all the defects of the tongue are such that it creates hatred in the society, it creates bad feelings in the society, it's not only restricted to yourself. Now other things, just for completeness sake, is another important thing is kizb, that is lying, which we all know. We don't want to go into it. Not because it's not important, because it's something that we all are aware of and no need to repeat it. Now the other defects which he goes into, and in fact he considers them roots of many of these defects of the tongue, are first of all ghadab. Ghadab is anger. Hikad and hasad, takes these three together, dealing with them separately. As far as ghazab is concerned, says the, in fact in some of the hadiths it says it's the root or source, well not root, sorry, source, that's when you are angry, source of all evil, then any evil becomes easy for you. Now ghazab itself is not bad or good, and in fact there are hadiths, especially from Abu Dharr, who say that combine your prayers and your fasting with anger for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you just fast and pray, you're not going to sort of stand up to people who are sort of trampling other people's rights or doing injustice and all these things. It's dark. And if you kill your ghazab altogether, anger altogether, in fact anger is something that drives you when you get angry. And that is why the natural reason for anger is that it gives you motivation, gives you a drive, pushes you to do something. So, and even in the hadith, it says that even the limit, for example, to reach is when you are angry, not to do anything that is bad. Stop yourself from it. And so anger, we all know, anger, when we get angry, we may do anything. And Imam Ali al-Islam says that anger is something, the beginning of which is madness and the end of which is repentance. The beginning you, like a mad person, go around and do anything. And when your anger has subsided, you say, why did I do this? So, he says anger is something, and everybody, all of us know, and even in the hadith, a lot of emphasis that you should control your anger. And even in the Quran, there is very good sort of praise for Kazi Minal Gaib. Gaib, the person who subsides, controls his anger, those who control their anger when they are angry. Because it's a very dangerous thing. So these people have been praised greatly. So when you are angry, now how do you get, how do you control yourself? I find something, in some of the hadiths, in fact our hadith as well as the Sunni hadiths, would say if you are sitting, if you are standing, then sit down. And if you are sitting, then sleep or lie down. And your anger will go away. And as one hadith says, get closer to the earth, as closer to the earth as you can, as if it was sort of an electric shock or something, and the anger will pass away in the earth. Now, I don't know how, I haven't tried it. The other one is that anger is from shaitan, and shaitan is from fire. And to cool it down, go and do wudu. Sorry? Wudu, it says. So if you do wudu, then water will calm down or cool you down. And then take whatever action you want to do once you are cool and calm. So these are sort of some practical ways of getting out of the anger. But whatever, he says, remember all the time the anger is bad, and just remembering this, Ghazali says, will sort of help you to control your anger. Now there is another word which is used, and we have heard of it, which is hilm. Hilm, in fact, ulamas have been praised, ulama al-hulama. That is, those ulamas who are hulama, they are also full of hilm. Hilm has also to do with anger. But a person who has got control of his anger is called halim. A person who gets angry and then controls is kadhimul gayb. But a person who doesn't get angry, when the situation is such that he should get angry, or other people would get angry, is known as halim. He is cool, has control. Or even if he does get angry, it's very easy for him to control his anger. This is what Ghazali defines as hilm. And hilm is, somebody who doesn't get angry easily. So it says hilm has also been praised a lot, and this is what we want to achieve by controlling our anger, become halim. When people say something to you, or people are ignorant of your rights or whatever, you do not get angry. Or when you're dealing with your people, even if they don't sort of observe what is right or fair, we don't get angry. And the Prophet's hadith mentions a few things. These are the qualities of the prophets. One of them is hilm. So hilm is a quality that is of the prophets. And also another thing which we must remember is that all these qualities, which like hilm, af, kadhimul gaiz, these are heavenly qualities. Anything which does not create conflict, everything that is of this world creates conflict. Because this world is limited. For example, hills, greed. I want something, you want something. There isn't enough of it. So either one of us has it, and the other doesn't have it, and creates some sort of conflict. Whereas all these things like ilm also, knowledge. There is enough knowledge that everybody can have it. It's not that if I have it, you can't have it. You can have it, I can have it. There is no limit to it. It's not quantifiable saying that, okay, you can, then I can't have it. Whereas all the material things are such that if it is given to somebody, then somebody else can't have it. They are limited. And all these qualities which are not limited are sort of qualities, heavenly qualities. In heaven it is said that there are things which never finish. Even the material things in heaven don't finish. But these qualities in this world which are such are known as heavenly qualities. And akhlaq, ilmul akhlaq, the main aim is to increase these qualities which are heavenly qualities in mankind. So that they keep away from conflict, to reduce conflict in the world. And that is the whole problem. That's why they say that this leads to happiness. Because then there is no conflict. You are not getting upset when people start shouting at you. You have hilm, lot of hilm. Hilm is something that takes you away from conflict. You don't get angry, and conflict is resolved. And ilm is another thing. You know about these things, and you have knowledge of these things. Then it takes you away from conflict. So this was ghazab. Now he says that the good thing about Ghazali is very logical, you see, and somehow tries to fit everything. He said, when you try to suppress your anger, what does it happen? It goes inside. And what does it give? May give rise to what? To hikkan. That's why he brings it together. Hikkan is hatred. When you hate somebody, how does this hatred come up? Whatever, you have had some conflict or something, you do not talk bad about him because you are frightened of Iba or whatever. You do not want to get angry on him, so you suppress it. And then it may give rise to internal anger, internal hatred for that person. Now you don't want even that. You don't want to hate anybody. And you don't want to, so because hatred will certainly come up. How long will it stay suppressed? So even this hatred, you have to wipe it out. And in fact, there is an ayah in the Quran which says that in Jannah, when the Mu'mins go there, ill, whatever hatred or unpleasantness they have about each other will be removed from their heart. Because you cannot, this, as I said, these heavenly things, I mean, you cannot have conflict there, this part of conflict. So hate also, hating somebody, you have to be aware that why you are hating him, go to the cause, and then remove it. How do you remove it? He says, well, there are many sort of ways, some of very difficult, and he agrees with them, says these are very difficult qualities. Somebody you hate, you cannot do good to him. Talk good about him, even though you don't want to talk good about him, or you wouldn't want to talk good about him, but talk good about him. Look at his good qualities, and even whenever you are angry with him or you want to make Iba, in fact, instead make the good. And this way you will see that your hatred of it turns away from the hatred and may even give place to friendship. So hatred is something that you have to get rid of, because otherwise it will come up in the sense of Iba and anger. You don't want to hate somebody because of personal reasons. If you hate somebody because of reasons for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is a good quality, it's not a bad quality. Because he is not a good Muslim or because he is unjust or something. Not personal reasons for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So hikadis is something that gives rise to many other things. You want to get rid of them. And one of the major things that hikad gives rise to is hasad. And inshallah, look at hasad next time, because it's a bigger issue. And hasad, or jealousy as we said it, is something that we are all aware of, and also from time to time here that is a very bad thing. Quran also mentions it. We look at hasad next time, and types of hasad, causes of hasad.